This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, the term is blueprint. Blueprint. One builder told me the first service, nothing is built without a blueprint. Nothing. You don't even build a doghouse without a blueprint. You can, but you shouldn't. An architect years ago told me that blueprints drive the building project. What did he mean by that? Everything goes back to the blueprint. What does the blueprint say? What are the specs? What does it say in terms of the height of the ceiling here? Everything is driven by the blueprint, including the building of this building. And you say, why are you talking about blueprints to begin your message? For this reason, I want to ask you this question. What drives your life? Whose blueprint? What blueprint drives your life? I'm convinced in my spirit that every man in this room has some blueprint that drives his life. I'm convinced that every woman in this room, every young person in this building, whether they're in teen church or youth church, whatever, they have a blueprint for their life. Something drives their life. And we follow the blueprint that we have determined for our life or that someone else has determined for our life. Today we're going to talk about a blueprint for living that's given in the book of Proverbs. We're going through the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, one of the most practical books of the Bible that deals with living on the street. If you were to take the book of Psalms, it's written for the sanctuary. But Proverbs is written for the street. And to have street credibility, to have street cred in this world, I really believe you need to know the blueprint. The blueprint for life that's given in Proverbs 4. I have this sense that this may be one of the most, if not the most important message out of this series. And I'll tell you why in a minute. It begins in verse 20, Proverbs 4. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, by the way, mark those words, above all else. It's the only place in the Bible that I know of where those words are used, above all else. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. I'm convinced that there's something in this passage that you need to go home with today and I need to go home with today. I really believe it's possible that there was a man who will be in one of these services today that this is exactly what he needs in his life right now. There'll be a woman here today, I won't know who she is, but there will be a woman here today who said, that is the word that I needed for my life, not for me, but from the Word of God. There's four things that the proverb writer says we need to do to have a good life, the blueprint for living, and I want to bring them up one at a time. The first one is in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. What's it mean to guard your heart? The word guard in the Hebrew I found means as a prison guard would guard a prisoner. As a prison guard keeps an eye on a prisoner to make sure that prisoner does not escape. That's the word that's used to describe how you and I are to treat our hearts. We're to guard our heart, which means to protect it, to keep it safe. And we're to guard our heart because you see, it says that everything comes out of your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Well, this message about the blueprint for your life continues tomorrow on Cross Hope, and that, by the way, is our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Tune in tomorrow to continue this message. That's the word that's used to describe how you and I are to treat our hearts. We're to guard our heart, which means to protect it, to keep it safe. And we're to guard our heart because you see, it says that everything comes out of your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Let's bring up a scripture from Mark 7. This was out of our series in Mark. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. Who said that? Jesus. That's who said that. Everything that comes out of life comes out of your heart, the seat of your emotions, your personality. That's what that term means. It means your mind and soul, your personality. And the first thing the proverb writer says, above all else, and one commentator said it's the only time that he could find in the Bible where those words are used, above all else, guard your heart. Some of you remember a TV show, or you may still watch it. It's called Entertainment Tonight. A guy that hosted that show for 10 years was named John Tesh. He's now a musician. He has CDs out, a keyboard player, and he's also a believer. I want you to listen to what he says about this phrase, guard your heart. We pay a lot of attention to our bodies regarding health and nutrition. Yet how much attention do you pay to the health of your emotional and spiritual life? At first, the scripture, guard your heart, seems pretty self-explanatory until you start to dig deeper and realize this is not a suggestion, it's a warning. It's an admonition. Our hearts are the wellspring of life, and you know what happens when a wellspring is contaminated by impurity, sickness, even death for those who depend on the water for their sustenance. If you don't guard the purity of your heart, you risk losing your life. With all the madness and craziness that's available to you today on television, on the newsstand, in movies, on billboards, on the internet, not guarding your heart can lead you horribly astray. He said, I've known the scripture most of my adult life, but it never came into focus until we had a child. Having a child in the house or in your car suddenly makes you hypersensitive to everything. That guy's driving too fast. Those teenagers are cursing. That magazine cover in that store is disgusting. And when your new sensitivity alarm starts blaring, you're struck with the realization that somewhere along the way you stop noticing all the inappropriate material in the world. You got used to it. You got used to it. This is a great illustration. He talks about the movie The Untouchables. Remember that movie about Elliot Ness, who in Chicago was the federal agent who took down Al Capone and sent him to prison? According to John Tesh in the movie, there's a line where Elliot Ness says he's describing how his purity of himself has been impacted by having to chase down Al Capone, and he said, I have become what I have beheld. I have become what I have beheld. Distracted by the prize of putting Capone behind bars, Ness uses tactics he would have never considered before engaging Capone. He became that which he despised, mostly because he spent every waking hour and many sleeping hours gazing straight at it. Tell me what you think about all the time, and I'll tell you what you'll become. Tell me what dominates your thinking and your thought processes at night, and I'll tell you what you will become, because we do become like that which we behold. John Tesh said, I worked for Entertainment Tonight for 10 years. Don't get me wrong. It's not my intention to play the self-righteous card or to bite the hand that fed me for 10 years. I only mean to point out that while I lived in that world, I surrendered my heart to it. Question, what have you surrendered your heart to? You know the answer. What has your heart? What controls your heart? And is it any wonder the proverb writer says right out of the box, you want a blueprint for life and for living, guard your heart above all else, because it's the wellspring of life. The second one is put away perversity and corrupt talk. Put away perversity and corrupt talk. Have you ever been around a person that you thought was a nice person, maybe you were impressed with somebody, and you changed your opinion because you heard them open up their mouth and talk? You ever been around a woman and you said, I used to think she was pretty nice until I heard her talk. And she cussed like a trooper, to use that expression. And all of a sudden, your impression of a person changed because you saw them in a different light for one reason. You heard how they talked. Well, let's bring up Ephesians 4:29 under this one. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, Paul said, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What constantly comes out of your mouth? Can you be detached enough and unbiased enough to look, just analyze kind of independently for a second from yourself and say, I do have a lot of corrupt talk come out of my mouth. There is a lot of perversity that comes out of my life. A lot of crassness comes out. And I find it interesting that right after saying, guard your heart, the next thing he says is, put away corrupt talk. Watch how you talk. There's a third one. Let your eyes look straight ahead or straight forward. That's an interesting phrase that we don't use today. I've never told somebody, you need to look straight ahead and straight forward in life. They'd say, what are you talking about? But you know what it means. It means to focus your eyes on that which matters, number one. We focus our eyes on a lot of things. We'll read that in a minute from Scripture. But it also does involve morality in terms of how we conduct our lives by what we look at. Have you ever noticed that we look for that which we either secretly or openly like or love? Those of you that have had small children, I can remember that our children were able to spot the McDonald's arches in the next county. I mean, you could be on the freeway and it was four exits down, but they could see it in the distance. They could see the golden arches of McDonald's. Why? Because they were looking for it. Their eyes were trained to look and scan the horizon. People who are Starbucks addicts are trained. They know when they come into a town and they land at the airport, they say, where's the nearest Starbucks? I need a cup of coffee. Why? They love it. They're looking for it. Tell me what you love and I'll tell you what you're looking for all the time. Tell you what catches your eye. I'll tell you what secretly you're looking for, because we always look for that which we love. And the proverb writer says, look straight ahead, straight forward. Let's bring up a couple of verses here. Matthew 6. Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Let's bring up Psalm 119:37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Do you realize there's a lot that we look at that's not necessarily evil, but it's just worthless? I want to talk to men for a moment about guarding their eyes. I'm going to share a verse with you that many of you didn't know was in the Bible. Well, this is a passage that I'd like every man to hear. That will happen tomorrow on Cross Hope, same time, same place. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you've missed or to find out more about this ministry we call Cross Hope. I want to talk to men for a moment about guarding their eyes. I'm going to share a verse with you that many of you didn't know was in the Bible. Let's bring up that verse from Job. Job is the oldest book of the Bible in terms of when it was written. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Now, I got to tell you something I did when I was at the seminary. I read that and asked an Old Testament professor, I said, I'm thinking about how the women dress in the Middle East in general and how they probably dress the burqa and they're covered and there's just a little slit for their eyes. How do you look at a woman lustfully who's dressed like that? You don't see anything but their eyes. You know what his answer was? He didn't tell me directly. He said, read Proverbs 6:25 later. Here's what it says. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. Isn't that interesting? Here I was looking for something that I thought that's stupid, about Job making a covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And here's why. Because she can captivate you with her eyes. All of that to say, men in particular, I think, need to know and watch what they look at. You say, does that apply to women? Well, it does too. In fact, Nancy Wilson writes to women in this area. She is an author, Christian author, says when a woman leaves her heart unguarded and becomes attached to the wrong man, she exposes herself to great hurt or harm. Many women anxious to be married respond to the first guy who comes along and even allow themselves to become physically involved when they know better. It's easy to have convictions. Listen to this. This is an interesting statement. It's easy to have convictions as long as you're not called upon to stand up for them. Especially if you must stand up to a man you have allowed yourself to fall in love with. Never assume that you're strong and you can handle being alone with that man that you are attracted to. Remember, whoever he is, if he's not your husband, you have no business submitting to him biblically in any area, especially if he wants you to engage in some physical affection when there is no fence of covenant protection around the relationship. Virginity is a priceless inheritance you bring into marriage. May I say something parenthetically? The average person in our culture today would just laugh at what I read. They just laugh. What a joke. You've got to be kidding, and to quote this Nancy Wilson to me. Well, listen to the next paragraph. It's interesting. You must guard your imagination if you want to guard your heart. Don't feed a lonely heart with cheesy romance novels or chick flicks and fantasize about the men or the relationships described. This is the most interesting thing I've read in a long time, this next sentence, because I've never heard anybody say this. This can quickly become lust for a woman, lusting to be lusted after. What a statement. A woman can lust to be lusted after. All of this is for both men and women. What I'm saying today, watch your eyes. Let your eyes look straight ahead as a figurative expression. Be careful what you look at. Here's the progression. Guard your heart above all else. It all starts with there, the wellspring of your life. You watch how you talk. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Why? Because it reflects what's in your heart. Jesus would say that. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him. Jesus said it's what comes out of him, comes out of his heart that defiles him. The next area, watch your eyes, watch what you watch. And the fourth one, make level paths for your feet. Now that's, again, another expression I have never used in conversation. But do you know what it means in plain English? Watch where you go. Be careful where you go, what places you frequent, where you step inside. Be careful of the doors you walk through in life. Maybe one of the best advice that a parent could give a child is be careful of the doors you walk through in life, physically and figuratively speaking. Watch the doors that you walk through. Rarely do I tell a story, and I really mean this, that's hard for me to tell. I get choked up when I read this story. It was all I could do to get through this story in first service. And I'm not exaggerating, but it's that kind of power told by Brennan Manning. I'll try it in this service. Once I related the story, he says, of an old man dying of cancer. The old man's daughter asked the local priest to come and pray with her father. When the priest arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on the pillows and an empty chair beside the bed. The priest assumed that the old fellow had been informed of his visit. "I guess you were expecting me," he said. "No, I wasn't. Who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm the new associate at your parish," the priest replied. "When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh, yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "Do you mind closing the door?" Puzzled, the priest shut the door. The man said, "I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter, but all my life I've never known how to pray. And at the Sunday services, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. Finally, I said to him one day out of sheer frustration, 'I get nothing out of your sermons on prayer.'" That would hit me hard if someone told me that. "I get nothing out of your sermons on prayer." "I abandoned any attempt at prayer," he continued, "until one day about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Christ. Here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus on the other chair. Joe, it's not spooky because Jesus promised I'll be with you always. Just talk to him and listen to him in the same way you're doing with me right now.' So he looked at the priest and said, 'So I've tried it, and I liked it so much that I do it a couple hours every day, but I'm real careful. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm.'" The priest was so deeply moved by the story and encouraged the guy to continue on his journey. Then he prayed with him and returned to the rectory. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the priest that her dad had just died that afternoon. "Did he die in peace?" he said. "Yes, when I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to the bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store a couple hours later, I found him dead. But there was something strange, Father. In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before my dad died, he leaned over and rested his head on the chair beside his bed. He rested his head on the chair beside his bed. Folks, that's not just a sentimental story. It's based on the truth of the relationship that we have with Christ. I'm not calling you to a philosophy. I'm calling you to a relationship. I'm not asking you to believe some stuffy principles and say, follow these principles and it'll change your life. Everything that we do is calling people to a relationship with God the Father through the Son. Always has been, always will be. I'll never change in that message. You come to God the Father through the Son. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You love Christ, you love the Father. You obey Christ, you obey the Father. Everything you want to know about the Father, you find in the Son. If what Jesus said is true, that I and the Father are one. That's what we're interested in, a relationship to Jesus. When you have the right relationship to Jesus, you know what the first thing you want to do with your life? Guard your heart. The second thing you want to do is watch how you talk. The third thing you want to do is to manage and control what you look at. And then the last thing, if you know Jesus, you're going to watch where you go. You're going to make your paths level, which means secure.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.